Jordan Eberle of the New York Islanders, as they are waiting on when they will play the Tampa Bay Lightning in the next round, joins us. Jordan, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing good. Yeah, thanks for having me.
No karaoke party for you guys last night?
No karaoke. Yeah, we got an older team, a lot of kids, so it's home to bed is pretty much what it is now. It's a little different than it used to be.
Fair enough. Now, I got to ask you, you got a pretty solid beard going on. Man, like, is there anybody on your team happier that they can grow a beard than Kyle Palmieri? Because Kyle Palmieri with a beard is a beast. Without it, like, the power of the beard is strong in Palmieri.
Yeah, I'm sure that's quite a few guys. I mean, obviously we have to shave all year, so it's kind of extra incentive and excitement when you get to grow the beard. And we got quite a few good ones, so you know, hopefully they'll keep going.
For sure. Now, you know, you being there, you know, you went to New York from Edmonton. You hadn't had a lot of playoff success early in your career in Edmonton, not many playoff appearances. Then you get to New York, and, you know, Barry Trotz is in, you know, Lou Lamoriello's been there, and, you know, you guys now second year in a row, you're into the Final Four, you know, both seasons in kind of trying times. Can you put your finger on, like, what is it about Lamoriello and Trotz that just gets everybody to buy into your system?
Yeah, I mean, they put a good plan in place and a good system. And you know, I think we've got a lot of guys who are, you know, been around the league for a while. I mean, we just want to win. So we have a lot of buy-in on our team. We have a lot of commitment level guys, blocking shots, guys hitting, just doing whatever they can. And following the message that Barry gives us to win hockey games. So, I mean, we've been together now for, 4 years, but, 3 good playoff runs. And when you win together and you lose together, you just kind of gain that, team camaraderie and you just go to battle for each other and you gain a lot of respect for one another. So, it just keeps building. I mean, it's a very tight knit group. It's a fun team to play for. I think it all starts with Lou and Barry and then the guys buying in.
Jordan Eberle joins us, and, you know, everybody wants to buy in, Jordan, but that doesn't always happen, right? Like, is there something in Barry Trotz and how he converses with players? Because he seems to make everybody feel like, regardless of what their role is on the team, you know, it's super important. Is he just a great communicator? Because, you know, in theory, everybody should always want to buy in, but I'm sure you've been on teams where the buy-in hasn't been as high as you would like it to be. How much of that is the leadership of the coach, or how much of that is leadership of the players?
I think it's both. I think that's definitely, you pointed it out there, the one thing that I've really respected with Barry is he makes everyone feel important, whether you're on the first line or fourth line, doesn't really matter. And to be honest, we don't really have a first or fourth line. We just have 4 deep lines and 6 deep defensemen. You know, whether you're a penalty killer or a power play guy, or we need you when we need to score, we need you to defend. You know, everyone feels like they have a role on the team. And I think our minutes are, you know, pretty even for the most part. We just roll lines and, whatever the situation in the game, whether we need to defend the lead, I mean, it's checkers that defend, or if we need to score, it's, you know, the so-called offensive guys who do it. So, I mean, we just have a good buy-in there. And Barry, like I said, does a great job of, you know, making everyone feel important throughout the team.
Can you talk about the fans in Long Island? And just obviously in the regular season to start, there were no fans in any of the buildings, and then it slowly, you know, started creeping up, and now you get back to it. And, you know, you came from Edmonton, and, you know, you got to experience one playoffs in Edmonton, and it's a pretty raucous place in Edmonton. The Islander fans, man, like, they've been starved for success for a long time too. They're pretty passionate. How was it getting fans back for you?
Oh, it's the best. Yeah, I mean, that's why we play. You know, I felt bad for the Canadian teams going through that, and really not having any fans in the best part of the season. You know, they just make everything so much better. I mean, they're a lot like Edmonton fans, where, you know, they've been fans for a long time, since the dynasty days of, you know, when they were winning cups, and much like Edmonton around the same time. And and they've just been starved for that that playoff run. So they're a huge part of why we have success in that building. I think we only lost two or three games this year at the Nassau Coliseum, and we had fans about halfway through. So once you get to the full building and the crowd is chanting like that, it's one of the loudest rinks I've ever played in. So you just feed off that energy and you can feel their passion.
Jordan Eberle joins us. Dougie Hamilton came out today and said, hey, Tampa Bay has a $98 million payroll right now. And they didn't do anything illegal, but that's the fact. That's what they have on the ice. Is that extra motivation at all, Jordan? Or is that, I guess, pre-salary cap era, there was lots of teams who spent way more money than other teams?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a comment on it. We played them last year in the playoffs, and for us, we're just kind of looking to – we feel like we have a deeper team this year than we did last year. And we took them to six games. They definitely have a lot of star power over there, guys you got to watch for. And then obviously getting Kucherov back for the playoffs is a huge addition for them. So, you can't really worry about what their salary cap is or what it is not. So we're more worried about game one and trying to take these guys down.
You did play them last year, and this year, of course, you haven't faced them once. They haven't faced you. Montreal is not going to face either Colorado or Vegas. So it's a different season. But the fact that you played them last year, do you feel that lowers, maybe if it would have been playing Carolina or Florida, that the uncertainty's not there just because, like, it's not like they're going to change their system that much. They won the cup. Like, I'm pretty sure they're going to be the same team. So do you feel that the uncertainty of your opponent isn't as high, even though you haven't faced them this year?
Oh, for sure. We were talking about it after the game. Guys all talked about how weird it would be to get into the Final Four conference, whatever you want to call it, and play a team you haven't played all year. But I mean, if there is one team, it's Tampa, who's probably the freshest in their mind, because I mean they're the most recent team that we played six games in a row before everything started up again. So I would imagine they're a very similar team to what they were last year. They've added obviously Stamkos, who we didn't play in the playoffs last year, and they're a deep team. So playoff hockey is the best where, I mean, you continue to just try and do the right things, be on the right side of the puck and play the right way to obviously not give up any chances and capitalize on your own. So playoff hockey, anything can happen. We're excited to have the opportunity to try and take them down and keep moving.
Jordan, you obviously had a lot of success on the international stage, of course, in pressure moments. The NHL playoffs, though, are completely different because it's such a long grind. You face the same team seven times in a row, and it's professional hockey. How have you improved, or what have you learned the most from the first time you were in the playoffs until now, having been in 3 years in a row? What's the biggest thing you can take away from Jordan Eberle in 2021 that's different from Jordan Eberle in 2017?
Experience. It's just and playing in those games, you get more comfortable in them. The one thing I've learned over the years is just how important every shift is. I mean, 95% of the time when you're out there, nothing's happening. It's there's no chances either way, but you have to do the right things, whether you're getting a puck out on the wall, which may seem, insignificant, but you just have to continue to make those right plays and not cheat for offense and wait for what and be patient for what comes to you. I think that's the biggest thing. And on top of that, you learn that each series is so different. You kind of get comfortable within the series of playing the same team, and you find out their tendencies, and you just keep adapting. I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned for sure over the last, 5 years of being in the playoffs now.
Jordan Eberle joins us. And, Jordan, that experience, are you able to control your emotions more in a game, or in a series? You lose a game, or you lose a game you felt like you should really win, and maybe in the regular season that would bug you for a day or two. How have you been able to just kind of move on from whatever the result, win or lose, was? Just let that go.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. You just touched on it. It's perfect. I mean, there's so many highs and lows and momentum changes in games, especially when the crowd's into it, that you have to learn to do that. I mean, it and that just comes from experience. Whether, you know, you make a mistake, you get scored on, and it seems like the end of the world. You have to find a way to park that and go back into refocus mode. I mean, we were playing Boston in game, I think it was game four, game two at, in Boston, and we're up two goals, and, you know, they scored one, and then we took a too many men penalty with about 3 minutes left. They scored, you know, all of a sudden you're thinking the game was over and you're going into overtime, and you have to just be able to put that all aside and refocus and go into overtime. We end up winning the game. So, you know, that just comes from experience and you know, trying to fight through momentum changes.
Jordan Eberle joins us. Jordan, I know you and Taylor Hall are really close friends. They always say there's no friends in the postseason. How was it playing one of your best friends, you know, in a winner-take-all series?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. It takes you back to competitiveness. You always want to beat guys that you know. I think that's kind of, I'm sure everyone's like that. It makes it more enjoyable. You have almost bragging rights, but, you know, I think he's a big competitor, and I know he hasn't been to the postseason too many times, and, you know, we're both fighting for the same thing. So you get in front of each other. I mean, yeah, you're not really talking to each other at all. It's all business. So, until after the series, and you can chat about it and move forward from there.
When are you allowed to chirp the bragging rights, do you think? Is it like, you know, in August? Like, what's the timeline on when you can send like a chirping text? How's that work?
I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't said anything, but I mean, obviously that's one of the obstacles we went through is the Bruins, and he just happened to be on the team. I'm more worried about obviously Tampa now and trying to win a cup. So, you know, that'll be the ultimate bragging right.
Jordan, you mentioned Tampa Bay last year and you guys took them to six games. You know, obviously disappointment. You feel your team is deeper. What do you, because you focus on, hey, we're going to focus on what we can do. Your team is deeper. Where do you feel your team is better on the ice to match up against Tampa this year than maybe last year?
Well, I think you just said it, and the depth that we have in four lines. You know, we have obviously myself, Barzal, and an offensive line, and Nelson's line's been playing great, and Peugeot's line's been playing great, and then we have Casey's line, who's, you know, a really good checking line, and they obviously chip in offensively, and not to mention we have, you know, six solid Ds. So, you know, we defend well. I think that's first and foremost with what our team does. We try and keep the puck on the net and limit the chances and then capitalize when we can. So, you know, we have the experience of playing Tampa last year and understanding, you know, what it takes to get to the next round and that being the finals. And you know, hopefully that'll help.
You've always been an offensive player, Jordan. You grow up, you're an offensive guy, and you feel like, geez, if I'm not scoring, I'm not contributing, right? Your team is very different, right? And it's because you guys don't rely on one line to score. You know, you look at your point totals. You know, Pageau currently is leading your team in points, and, you know, some would argue he's technically on your third line, right? Like, there's lots of balanced scoring. Did you have to adjust your thinking to say, hey, I can really contribute to the team, you know, by a solid defensive play? When did that evolution come in Jordan Eberle's game? Because I think it's, you know, I can see how naturally it'd be difficult if you feel, geez, if I'm not scoring, I'm not contributing. But in the playoffs, that's not really the case. So how did you learn that? When did that change occur for you?
I mean, I think it came with when Barry Trotz came. I mean, I struggled the first year with Barry offensively, and I think I was just getting down on myself that, I mean, obviously the style of play that we were playing, there's not as many chances, and we're, you know, I always wasn't defending well, and I really had to try and find that part of my game and learn it, and you know, I really thought I clicked in the first year of the playoffs with Barry and found my game and just tried to continue to build on it. You know, on this team, like you said, we, first and foremost, we try and defend, and it doesn't matter if you're an offensive guy or a defensive guy, or a checker, I guess you call it. You have to be able to keep the puck out of your net. So, we play with predictability and detailed, and I've tried to add that to my game as much as possible. And, I mean, obviously, I'm getting a little bit older, and you want to add that to the game, because in my mind, and I've seen it, and when you're doing it firsthand, that's winning hockey. So we've shown that that's how you have to play to have success with our team.
Did Barry have a sit down with you at one point that first year to, you know, maybe ease yourself? Because I know you've always been hard on yourself if you're not producing. Like, was there a conversation that allowed you to exhale and realize, okay, you know what, if I'm not scoring, I can still be a good player?
Yeah, I mean, Lou and Barry do a good job of that. They basically tell you, it doesn't matter how many goals or points you get. You just want to play the right way, play on top of guys, and do that. So when you have that assurance from your coach and your GM, it makes things a little bit easier to just worry about the details of the game and playing the right way. So I think the biggest thing with our team is obviously we've had success with playing that way. And, when we stray from it, we don't. So you see it firsthand. That's the biggest thing.
What was the hardest thing for you to learn defensively?
I think more than anything defensively, it was just about, for me as a winger, being good on the walls in the defensive zone, not the term is cheating for offense, looking for that, breakaway play or getting on the wrong side of the puck. It's just little details like that as you continue to play it more, you understand the importance of it. And, I think that's kind of the way that we play in Long Island. And like I said, when you have success, when you're doing it and you're winning games, and that's what it's about. That's what makes hockey fun. When your team in these playoff games, you hear the crowd chanting, you're winning hockey games, and you're battling and putting yourself on the line for one another. I mean, that's what it's all about. Obviously, I didn't have much success in Edmonton when we were getting to the playoffs and we weren't winning many games, but when you finally get to do it, it definitely makes it worthwhile.
Well, Jordan, there's tons of guys who didn't have success the first time in the playoffs. Guys who were goal scorers, and then they eventually figured out. And no different for you. You look at your point totals since, in Long Island, you've been very effective offensively in the playoffs. How effective have you been? How's fatherhood treating you?
It's great. It's awesome. It's I'm sure for anyone who has kids, it just puts things into perspective a little bit too. I mean, when you come back from the rink after maybe a bad day at the office, you see your kid, they don't care. So, it makes it that much worthwhile. And like I said, we have quite a few guys and kids on the team, so we're all able to share that.
And how old are your kids now?
I just have one daughter, and she's one. So, hopefully more to come, but, with COVID and it's been a weird, I guess, probably a weird time to bring her up. She's, my mom and my dad and my siblings haven't been able to see her as much as probably they'd like, me to see their kids and whatnot too. But, we'll be able to bring a cup home one time and we'll see everyone together.
I got to ask, do you ever allow yourself, because now you're in the conference final for the second year, do you allow yourself a moment of thinking what I would do with the cup, or is that is that a jinx?
No, I'm sure everyone thinks about it. I mean, once you get down to the second round and you realize there's only 8 teams, now you're in the conference final, there's 4 teams, you 100% start to think about it. I mean, okay, that's probably only normal. So, I haven't gotten into specifics. It's more so you try and you think about it and you dial back your mind to realize that, we're only halfway there. So, I mean, it's in my opinion, it's got to be the hardest trophy in sports to win, and that just makes it so much more special.
Well, you know what's funny, Jordan, is if you do win, like Johnny Winwick, he might be able to fit in the cup.
that's good. Yeah, I haven't seen him in a while too. So, and you know what? Even talking with Barry and guys who have won in the past, and that's the biggest thing is just what it does for your family and your friends, and how special it is to share with everybody. So, like I said, we're only halfway there, and the excitement level, you'll see it in the games, guys. They really put themselves on the line to get to that.
Well, Jordan, continued success. Thanks for joining us. Strutty apologizes that he couldn't be here. He was just he's warming up his organ, as he likes to say, getting ready to come on at 3 o'clock. So he wanted to pass on a big hello to you. So
I appreciate it. It's always fun to be on. Good talking to you.